At the age of 17, I headed off to college with, I'd say, probably two major goals that I had in mind when I left home. And number one was to get an education so that, you know, maybe I could get a good paying job and be, quote, successful in life. And the second goal was to run competitively where I would hopefully be successful at that as well. Well, needless to say, neither of those two goals really worked out too well for me. But there was an area that I did have success in college. I'm not talking about making a fool of myself because some of the sinful choices I did, but I'm talking about spiritual success. What do I mean by spiritual success? Well, not that I had my life all together, not that I still didn't struggle with sin, but God's word impacted my life when I was there. And I want to point you to a verse as we begin this morning, a verse that was spoken to Joshua. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, is God really speaks to Joshua. If you know Joshua, he would take over for Moses after Moses died, and he would lead the people of Israel into the promised land. And God said this to Joshua. He said, "Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful." Now, to keep this verse in context, again, when God says the book of the law, what had been written so far, just the first five books of our Bible. But God was saying here to Joshua, make sure that you hide these words in your heart and you obey them. And if you do, the people will enjoy success and prosperity. Now, for Israel, they would enjoy earthly prosperity, earthly success. But as we apply this to our lives today as believers under the new covenant, you could say this, that we can enjoy spiritual prosperity and spiritual success when we apply these truths. When we don't let this book of the law depart from our mouth, when we hide it in our hearts, when we seek to obey it, and when we yield to it, we'll find that we have spiritual success in life. Well, that first semester of college, as I look back on my life, I didn't attend church at all that first semester. I don't think I ever cracked my Bible. The only spiritual food I got was my sister had given me a little Petra cassette. Some of you young people may not remember know what cassettes are, but a Petra cassette, more power to you. So I think I listened to that maybe once in a while on a Sunday, so I got some kind of spiritual food, but that was it. But in my second semester, that was when God really grabbed hold of my heart. He got a hold of my life. And by his grace, he brought people into my life who loved him and knew him and could speak into my life and teach me the word of God and I could walk with. And I began to go to church, a church in Northampton, Massachusetts called College Church. And I don't remember much about that church. But one thing that stands out to me, one thing I do remember is this. Behind the preacher or the platform, the stage area, in big, huge letters on the wall were these words: "Know Christ and make him known." And those words are, unless I get Alzheimer's, those words are always going to stick in my mind. Because those are really such simple foundational truths to the Christian life and what it means to be a Christian. We should all want to know Christ if we claim him as our Savior. Know Christ and to make him known. This is a very simple foundational truth. And sometimes as Christians, we can complicate things, can't we? Does anyone here ever overthink the Christian life? Ever make it more complicated than it really is? I'm not saying that the Christian life is not complicated, that there can't be times where we have dilemmas, where we may scratch our heads and we just don't understand what God is doing. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about what God has called us to do as believers is pretty straightforward. It's pretty simple when you consider it. I had a 11th grade science teacher taught chemistry, and he was famous for a saying he used to always drill into us as he banged on the chalkboard with his big stick, and he would yell at us and say, "You know what method you need to use here?" And we'd all be like, he was a little scary at times. He would freak us out sometimes with his personalities. Yeah, he had more than one personality. But he would say, "The kiss method." And there you go. He'd go, "Keep it simple, stupid." And that was the kiss method that we were. Nowadays, he'd probably be fired, right, if he said something like that. But anyway, this is what he was getting at. Is just, there's a way to understand this and live it out, and that's keep it simple. And really, the same is true as believers. We should keep it simple. And these two statements, I think, help us to do that. Well, let's dig deeper into these statements today. Number one is this: it is to know Christ. If I were to ask you, how can you know Christ better? I would hope that all of you here would say this: well, the best way that we can get to know Christ is through his word, is to open up the Bible and to read it, to take it in for ourselves, because in the scriptures, God reveals himself to us. And God has revealed himself as a triune God, as God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And as believers, we're called to imitate Christ, to follow Christ. That's what Christian is, right? Little Christ, to be like Jesus, to be conformed to his image. We see this in 1 John chapter 2, verse 6. The Apostle John would give this very simple statement. He would say, "Whoever claims to live in him must do what? Must walk as Jesus did." Do you claim to be a Christian? Do you claim to be a believer? Then John would say this: then walk as Jesus did. What does that mean, to walk as Jesus did? Again, to imitate Christ. To look at Christ, to look at his life, and then to follow him. And here's the deal. We cannot get to step two, which is imitating Christ, unless we first get to step one, which is learning about Christ or knowing Christ, and that's where the Word of God comes into play. Last week, if you were here, we learned some things about Jesus, didn't we? What are two things we learned about Christ last week, if you were here? Remember? Jesus is what? He said, "I am," tell me, "humble," right? "I am humble and gentle." I'm humble and gentle in heart. So if we're to imitate Christ, what does that mean? We too should be gentle and humble in heart as well. And as we open our Bibles, we find all kinds of things about Jesus. Jesus is called the Righteous One with a capital R. That means he had no sin in him whatsoever. He was flawless. He was perfect. We find that Jesus was filled with love. His love was sacrificial, wasn't it? It was a selfless kind of love. His love was not like this: "Well, you know what? I'll scratch your back if you scratch mine." Yeah. No, it was just giving unconditionally. No strings attached. This is the love of Christ. We find that the love of Christ is filled with forgiveness, isn't it? Forgiveness for sinners. You want to imitate Christ, then forgive sinners. We find that Jesus was filled with compassion. He had a zeal for truth, a zeal for justice. These are all the things that we learn as we open our Bibles and get to know Christ more and more and more. And so the bottom line is this, is that there is so much to know about Jesus, but we have to open our Bibles to find out what he is like. You see, don't let social media or the evening news or Hollywood be your main source for knowing Christ. Now, can you get some snippets of truth from those things? Yeah, you may. But the main source of truth you want is, or information, is the Word of God, is the Bible. Find out what Jesus praises and what he frowns upon. Find out what Jesus says is good and what Jesus says is evil. But a word of caution here, and that is this: just simply reading the Word or gaining knowledge about Jesus is only half the battle. What do I mean? Well, you could read your Bible every day. You could be in church every Sunday and listen to a pastor preaching the Word of God. I could be teaching the Word of God. You could be joined together with other believers in a Bible study, discussing the Word of God together, and yet still only have a superficial knowledge of Christ. That can happen. A knowledge that never brings about any change in our lives. And so the knowledge that we all must pursue is a knowledge that is accompanied by surrender. Surrender. In other words, when we say, I want to know Christ, we should be saying this: I want to know Jesus not only in my head, but I want to know him in my heart as well, so that my life can be yielded to his. We find these famous words in the book of James. James chapter 1, verses 22 through 25. James says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Notice what James says. You can be in church every day. You can be reading your Bible every day and you can be deceived. It's a powerful statement. He says, do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. Jesus would say something very similar in the Gospels when he would talk about a wise man and a foolish man. How many of you grew up learning that song about the wise man built his house upon the rock and the foolish man built his house upon the sand? That comes right out of Scripture, and the illustration Jesus gave there was this. There's a wise man and a foolish man. They're both building their house. One built on rock, the other built on sand. And what Jesus says is this. Both of them, the wise man and the foolish man, both heard the word of God. They both listened to the word of God. They both knew what the word of God said. But only one put it into practice. Only one did what was said. And so one life was built on a rock, the other life was built upon sand. And so if you feel today like maybe your spiritual life is just simply built on sand, there's no solid ground to it, then I would have you ask yourself this question: am I putting the Word of God into practice? Am I obeying what I hear and what I read? That would be a question for you to answer. There's an object lesson that's been used. Often I know I've used it in the past, and it's a good one, so why reinvent the wheel? I'm going to use it again today. It's about the bottle of shampoo, and some of you know where I'm going, right? How many of you have ever read the directions on the bottle of shampoo? Most of you probably don't, right? Or some of you do? I'm impressed, Amy. That's good. Most of us probably, you know, we learned it when we were 3 years old, so we don't read the directions. But if you were to take the time to read the directions, you'd find that on the most bottles it says something like this: wet your hair, okay, apply shampoo, lather, rinse, and maybe repeat, right? I mean, that's basically what the instructions say. And the point of the shampoo is this: what good does the shampoo do to you if you never apply it to your head, right? You can sit around and say, man, that is an awesome bottle. Would you check that out? Hey, you know what? I have the ingredients memorized. That's right. Hey, let's all gather together and just talk about how wonderful the shampoo is. Isn't it great? Yeah, you know, I got a shampoo at home too. It's amazing. If you do not apply that, you will have greasy hair. Eventually, it's bound to happen. It's going to get greasy. So too, if we do not apply this word of God to our lives, you know what? Our lives will be greasy. What do I mean they'll be greasy? We will be slipping on the slime of sin. If we do not apply the Word of God to our lives, if we do not seek to obey the Word of God. And so the most important thing about reading the Word of God is this: it's our posture. What's your posture toward the Word of God? You see, if you simply read this as a textbook, so that, you know, if I should come along and give you a pop quiz, you'll know the answer. Or if you just read this to gain knowledge, so that if you're invited over somebody's house and they break out Bible trivia, you don't want to be embarrassed. That's the only reason you read this. That's not the right reason to read it. If you read this simply as a mystery novel, you get into numerology and prophecy and you just want to figure out the end times, if that's the only reason why you read it, it's not the purpose of it. And if you read it with head held high, chest out, arms folded like you know it all, that's the wrong posture. What's the posture? The posture's on bended knee. It's with a spirit of humility saying, God, I know nothing. Unless your spirit reveals this to me, I'm going to gain nothing. And it's also with open arms saying, God, show me. Show me your truth. Teach me your truth and help me. Help me what? Help me, number one, to understand it by the power of the Spirit. And then help me, number two, to apply it to my life by the power of the same Spirit. Let me ask you, are you all in? How many of you play poker? Nobody here plays poker, right? Yeah. You've watched it on TV, though, right? And if you've watched it on TV, you know that at times there gets to be a point where a guy says, you know what, man, I'm putting all my chips in. All in. Is that your attitude toward the Word of God? When you say from Genesis to Revelation, I'm all in. I'm all in. I submit, I surrender to all of it. Is that your attitude with the Word of God? Or do you say this, well, you know, our culture says this, but yeah, I know the Bible says that, but you know, I've heard so-and-so say this. I've heard the leading psychologist, sociologist, meteorologist, you name the ESP, any ESP put in there. I've heard them say this, but I know the Bible says this, but I'm going to go with the other side rather than the Word of God. And don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that we can't learn things from the psychologist and the sociologist and the meteorologist and the biologist and all these. But what I'm saying is this: when it comes to surrender and yielding, we need to do it to, ultimately, to the Word of God. It frightens me. And just be very honest. It frightens me when I hear Christians say, you know, I know the Bible says that is wrong, but Dr. Know-It-All says this, and I'm going to go with the doc on this one. Don't do that, please. Surrender to the Word of God. Surrender to the Scriptures. Listen to the attitude that we should have. Another verse from Isaiah. Isaiah 66, verse 2. Says this: has not my hand made all these things? And so they came into being, declares the Lord. This is the one I esteem, he who is humble and contrite in spirit and trembles at my word. Again, what is your posture going to be toward the Word of God? Is it going to be that humble posture, that heart that is contrite and is broken? The heart that's willing to submit and tremble at the Word of God. That posture is going to help you to know Christ better and deeper. Well, number two, secondly, we're to make Christ known. How do we do that? Well, goes back to everything I just said. As we seek to know God through His Word, as we read it, as we apply it to our lives, we will demonstrate to this world what it looks like to be a follower of Christ as we do that. Jesus speaks this way in Matthew chapter 5. Let's look at that. Matthew 5, 14 through 16. Jesus said this to his disciples. He said, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." Again, Jesus there is just simply saying this: make sure your life lines up with who I am, what I've taught you, how to live. St. Francis of Assisi was famous for saying this: preach the gospel, and if necessary, use words. And his point was this: make sure your life lines up with the gospel, lines up with the teachings of Christ, because the world is watching you and I. D.L. Moody once said this: the sermons most needed today are sermons in shoes. Same kind of thought there. Hey, make sure we're walking out the truths that we hear. If we just come in and soak and absorb through church and Bible studies, but we're never applying these things and living them out, guess who notices? Our unbelieving friends and loved ones. They see our lives. And they can see the hypocrisy in our lives if we don't live them out. While those are both great statements that we can learn from, there is a danger in these statements, and that is this: thinking that we can simply live the gospel and never speak the gospel. You may think this way: well, you know, I'm just going to try to live the Christian life, and then I hope someone else comes along and shares Jesus with my friend. No, it's not about either or, it's about both. It's about seeking to live the gospel and also share the gospel as well. I think most of you know that we live in a culture that many times will do this when we begin to talk about Christ or faith and beliefs. There are many who simply may not want to hear. Many believe that beliefs should be a private matter. And they should never be expressed, especially in public. But let me just ask you this. Imagine if the early church had that kind of mentality, where they just kept it in and never shared it. Where would we be today? What would the world look like? There wouldn't be many Christians, would there? Think about your own life. Imagine if no one ever told you about Christ, whether it was a pastor or a parent or a friend, a coworker. Where would your life be if no one told you about the way to have salvation in Christ? Sometimes I think about that, like, ooh, man, I would be in a very dark place were it not for someone who loved me enough to tell me about Jesus, who loved me, risking maybe scorn and ridicule and whatever it might be, because they loved me enough, because they wanted me to know about Jesus. This is something that we should constantly think about. Because as we go about our day and as we rub elbows with people who may not know Jesus, we need to be thinking the same way. Hey, they're just like me. There was a day when nobody told me about Jesus, but somebody eventually did. And may we have that same heart of compassion for that. Let me ask you, are you willing to do the same? Are you willing to make Christ known? I began today talking about the two goals I had as I went off to college as a 17-year-old young person. But through God's grace, those two goals changed, you could say. And as I close, I want to ask each of you today this question. Are two main goals in your life today? If you say, you know, what drives me? What am I pursuing in life? What's my passion in life? Are two main goals in your life to know Christ and to make him known? Are those two main goals in your life? Can you say, this is what my life is all about? And if not, then I'd encourage you to do this. Ask God to search your heart. Ask God to show you whether or not Christ is truly in your life. Because if you can't say, I want to know Christ and make him known, that's a red flag. It's an indication that perhaps Christ is not even in your life. Some of the most sobering words we find in the Bible were spoken by Jesus. And he says this in Matthew 7, that on that day, referring to the day of judgment, when all mankind will stand before the Lord Jesus as ruler and king, he says, on that day, there will be many who say to me, Lord, Lord, didn't I do this in your name? Didn't I do that in your name? Why is that such an amazing statement? Because Jesus didn't say, there'll be many who say to me, but Lord, wasn't I a good person? Or didn't I? No, he said, didn't I do this in your name? That is why it's so scary. Because Jesus is saying, there'll be people who like me will stand before him and say, but didn't I preach all those sermons in your name? Jesus, didn't I do this in your name? Didn't I serve this person in your name? Didn't I host this Bible study in your name? Didn't I do this in your name? These mighty works of you. And he will look at them and say, depart from me, I never knew you. Those are sobering, sobering words, people. And my heart today is that nobody here would have to ever hear those words from the Lord Jesus. Depart from me, I never knew you. And so today, if you can just honestly search your heart, and if you can say, you know what? My life is all about me. It's simply my dreams, my pursuits, how I can have a better life. If that's all you have, and not any passion for Christ or to pursue the things of Christ, then today just simply humble yourself before God. Acknowledge that you don't have him. Acknowledge that you've been blinded by morality and self-righteousness, and that you need a Savior, the Lord Jesus, to come in and cleanse you of your sin, to wash you, to make you clean. That when he went to the cross, he died for our self-righteousness. He died for our sin, our rebellion, all of our wickedness. It was placed upon Christ. And when we put our faith in Christ, there's now a righteousness that comes to us by faith alone. And we can be made right with God. You can be made right with God today by simply humbling before God and trusting in the Lord Jesus to save you, admitting your sin and calling out to him for salvation. Let's pray today. Father, we thank you. We thank you. It's only by your grace that any of us are saved. We can't boast about any works we have done. Our only boasting is in the blood of Christ and the cross of Christ that was shed upon the tree. And God, today I pray that each one here in their heart of hearts would know that Christ lives there because Christ has given them a passion to live for Jesus and to tell others about Jesus. And if that's not there, then that today would be the day of salvation. They would bend their knee to the Lord Jesus and submit to Jesus as King. Father, we thank you for your word. And I pray that we would be people who are humble and contrite and tremble at your word, who yield to it, who would submit to it, and who ask you for understanding when we don't understand it at times. Lord, help us to know you better, to know Christ, and to make him known. And we ask all this in your name, Jesus. Amen.